Hey, everyone. We're coming to you today from KUER in Salt Lake City, and it's been great to be here. 40 million people rely on the Colorado River as a water source, and earlier this year, 7 western states agreed to a plan to better manage the river. After nearly 2 decades of drought, the states agreed to cut water use voluntarily in order to prevent intervention from the federal government. Utah was one of them. It's the second driest state in the country, and there are now a host of proposals on the table to improve Utah's water conservation efforts, including a $3.2 billion pipeline, which would move water from Lake Powell, a Colorado River reservoir, to the southwestern part of the state. Judy Faze is an environment reporter here at KUER, and she's been following the state's water woes. Judy, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So how big of a deal is the pact that the 7 states signed on to in March?
It's pretty significant. I think water has always been an obsession in the West. In Utah in particular, they say that when the Mormons came to the Valley, the first thing they did was start building water infrastructure. And so it's really in the DNA, I think, of the people here to work on water issues. So this compact is very interesting because the lower basin states, Arizona, California, and Nevada, they've been using more than their fair share. And the upper basin states, which are Utah, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, they want to start capturing their shares. So on the one hand, you have a drought that's reduced the levels of the big reservoirs. And on the other hand, you have these states that want to start capturing some of the water that really isn't there right now. So the way that breaks down is that the lower basin states have agreed in this agreement to reduce their water use by about 500,000 acre feet. That's basically 500,000 times filling a football field 1 foot deep of water. Basically enough for each 100,000 acre feet is good for about 100,000 homes.
Let me ask you a question about the specifically here in Utah. Like, what is the water situation here? Where does the majority of Utah's water go?
Well, like many western states, Utah, most of the water goes to agriculture. About 80% goes to agriculture.
And we mentioned at the top that Utah is the second driest state in the country. California, as we know, has had drought issues for quite some time. Conservation is at the very forefront in California, particularly as they go through this. What about here in Utah? Is conservation part of the problem or a lack of awareness about conservation?
You know, I think Utah's maybe a little late to the party. That's maybe the best way to describe it. Years ago, I spoke with Pat Mulroy, who's sort of a legendary water person in the West. She's from in Las Vegas. And she said the states would really need to start thinking about water less as my cut of what's in the Colorado River and more as a shared resource, that the pain was going to shift over time between the different states. And I think we've really seen that played out. So Utah's learning how to conserve, but I think and they're making their goals, their gradual goals, but at the same time, there isn't as much conservation as the state and the local governments believe there needs to be.
Let's talk a little bit about water waste. Tell us how the state's property, how Utah's property tax structure essentially connects to how much water people use.
Well, I think the issue now is it used to be that the federal government chipped in a lot of money for big water projects. And now that's not so true. So the state has started to rely more on property tax. And I'm sorry, it's not properly the state that does that. It's the water districts that manage water in individual counties. So for instance, the Lake Powell pipeline, the cost estimates run from about $1.1 billion to $3.2 billion or even more. The federal government normally would have paid for maybe half of that, but now the state and local users are going to have to pay that. So the state set up a big fund. They take a little bit of sales tax revenue, about 1/16%, and some of that goes into this revolving fund that will help fund these big projects. The Lake Powell pipeline, they have, I'm just trying to get the exact number here. They have, they're planning to use about 10% of property taxes in that county to help pay for the pipeline. That's just one of the tools that they have at their disposal. And it is pretty unusual. Most states don't do that.
One of the other things that we're talking about here, particularly as it relates to Utah and Salt Lake City, is that the population is growing. There's a housing boom happening. It's Silicon Slopes, as we were told. So what does that tell us about how much water the state will need going forward?
Again, they're talking about a lot of growth, and I think the business community has come together and said that probably more than $17 billion worth of projects need to be done, including rebuilding old infrastructure and building new in order to bring the water infrastructure up to standards.
And where's the money? Because that's a lot of money, $17 billion.
Right. But that's, again, statewide. And I think the issue is probably true in New York or L.A. as much, or Chicago, as much as it is here, that some of the infrastructure is old. It really needs to be resized. Part of the question is climate change, because the tools that we use to carry water around now in years when water is pretty plentiful are a little different than the ones you would need if you have big rainstorms that you need to catch a lot of water. You need bigger reservoirs, you need bigger pipes sometimes, that sort of thing.
So tell us a little bit more about the communities around the Powell Pipeline and how they're sort of adjusting to this idea.
Right. There are local people who think the pipeline's a great idea, that they want to continue getting a lot more water. And I recently met up with a turf farmer. So he's growing this green carpet of grass in Red Rock Country, a very, very dry part of a very dry state. And on the other side of the county, there's a community where most of the lawns are xeriscaped. They might have a little patch of grass, but it's mostly red rock and low water plants. So the psychology is changing, but it's just taking time.
Judy Fays is an environment reporter for KUER News. Thanks, Judy.
Thank you.